Okay, Erev Indaf Mem Zayin. We're in the middle of talking about a rule. The rule is that we paskin based like Rabbi Yossi, and we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Shimon, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Misharshia had said at the end of yesterday's daf, a Mem Vav, that while it's true, sometimes this happens, it's not a rule, and we have plenty of examples where we paskin against these rules. So the Gemara is now trying to find a time where we actually do say the opposite of the rules. But the Gemara made a condition about it. The Gemara said that while it's true, we paskin like these rules in a general case, if it's a specific case where the actual machlokas leads to somebody saying, someone passing halacha k'Rabbi Shimon, so that's not within the rule. The rule only applies when there are no specific statements about who we paskin like in the discussion. So here, the Gemara is now trying to find another example of where maybe we're going against this rule. If you look a couple lines down, Ela mehad etnan. Rather, let's learn it from here that we don't paskin like these rules, that we don't follow these rules, I should say. Gemara says, let's say somebody leaves his house and he goes to establish an erev in another place. If there's one person in the chatzer, no matter how big the chatzer is, if there's one person that is working against the situation, meaning they don't want to join in the erev, whether that person's Jewish or not Jewish, that invalidates the erev for everybody. According to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eino Oser. Rabbi Yehuda says no. If one person doesn't want to do it, so then it doesn't disqualify the Erev. Rabbi Yossi Omer Nachri Oser Yisrael Eino Oser. Right, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi says a non-Jew would invalidate it, but a Jew would not invalidate. Why? Because the fact that they're not partaking is not the fact that we can't get them to partake because they're not around is not a concern, because if a Jew is not around at the beginning of Shabbos, he's not going to come all of a sudden on Shabbos and thereby make it that he would invalidate it, right? The reason that it would be invalidated, that he would disqualify the Erev, is if somebody's living there but doesn't have the buy-in from before. Meaning that they're living in a place where people have established a joint living situation. But if this guy comes on Shabbos and starts living there, not being involved, not being included, not joining in this living situation, so then it's not going to count. So here the question is, does a Jew usually come back on Shabbos? So says Rabbi Yossi, it's not a problem if there's a Jewish house that hasn't bought in yet, and then they come because they are not necessarily, they're not assumed to have to be coming on Shabbos itself. However, if it's a non-Jew, so then we are concerned because they do travel on Shabbos and maybe they're come in the middle of the Shabbos. That's what it sounds like. So the Gemara then says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, afil hiniyeches beis of halachlish bos etzabito ba'osu ha'ir. Even Rabbi Shimon says, even if you would go to your own daughter's house in that same city, enu oser shekvar hisiach da'ato, even if it's in the same city, and therefore maybe you should be concerned she's going to come back, or even if it's your own daughter, and therefore you're concerned that she's going to come back. So he says, Rabbi Shimon, even in that case, we're not going to be oser it, because kvar hisiach da'ato. It's already they've already sort of put it out of their mind. They're not living there on Shabbos, and therefore we're not going to worry that they're coming back. Just to check with Rashi here. Nachri oser afa pisha eno beir hasheri yachalav al vein ze hasef menalev al yisrael mishehalach mikan velo va meirav Shabbos hisiach leveso milibo kol haShabbos sharei lo yavol hilka command leisle. Right, it's like there are no people living there, and therefore you don't have to be concerned about joining that living, that residence inside of here. Okay. The Amarama Rav Chama Barguria Amarav. Rav Chama Barguria Amarav says, Halach Rabbi Shimon. We passing like Rabbi Shimon in this case. That it's not going to be Oser. Rabbi Shimon was the one that said that even if it's your own daughter, we're not going to be worried, we're not going to make it Aser. So the Amar Rav Chama Bar Guri Amar Rav Halach Rabbi Shimon Mand Palikale. Who's the one that disagrees with Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Yehuda. V'ha'amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, halach Rabbi Yehuda. I don't know why we don't say Rabbi Yossi, which is a bigger chiddush, that we pass on Rabbi Shimon over Rabbi Yehuda. And here, you typically be passing Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda over Rabbi Shimon. And here you're passing Rabbi Yehuda. We've got a new angle for David Barth. I assume that means his kids are in town and using that room. So welcome to the Barth family. Was it Sickerman? Sickerman family, right? I think that's the Sickermans, right?
Yeah.
Okay, welcome to town. I'm sure that's a great nachas and enjoyment for you, so enjoy. Hopefully we get to meet them. So the Gemara then says, Umay Kushya, what's the question here? Dilma Hachanami, maybe here, Hecha to Itmar, Itmar, Hecha to Itmar, Itmar, Lo Itmar. In this case also, it's the same exact thing as the other two examples. Rav Chama Bar Guria Amar Rav is saying explicitly halachas of Rabbi Shimon, and therefore this is not going against any rule because he said it explicitly. Ela mehad d'tan, let's say from this mishnah. A poor person could make an erev with his feet, meaning he can go and establish an erev there. He can say it with his voice, preferably, but we've seen the machlokas says maybe even if with his feet could be enough, even without saying anything, which was a problem of hachana from one day of yantif to another day of yantif, from one day of yantif to Shabbos, whatever. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir Omer Ein Anu Ela Ani. Rabbi Meir says that halacha, that leniency, that you can do it with your feet alone and you don't need to set up any food for your tchum. So that is only for a poor person. We only allow that leniency for a poor person. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Echad Ani V'Echad Asher Lo Amru Ma'arvim V'Pas El L'Hakala Asher Shalei Tzevi Arab Barak Lav. The only reason that we need the food is for the wealthy person who's lazy and would prefer that somebody else sets up the food for him. You can sign a shliach. We've seen that situation also. But typically, a person is allowed to set up the Erev just by walking and announcing that that's his residence. Umasni l'Rabbi Chiya bar Asher l'Chiya bar Rav Kamei d'Rav. And then they said in front of Rav, Echad Ani v'Echad Asher, that doesn't matter, poor person or a rich person. Rav says that, or Rav Chiya bar Asher, and Rav Chiya bar Asher said, and then in front of Rav Chiya bar Av and Rav, that both a poor person and a rich person could use it. Amar li Rav, sayim banami halachik Rabbi Yehuda, we pass on Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, wait a second. So tarti lamali, why do you have to tell me that we need it twice? We pass on Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rav have to tell me we pass on Rabbi Yehuda? V'ha amar Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda halachik Rabbi Yehuda. You already know the rule that the halach is like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Meir. So why do you need to tell me again, Rav? So Gemara says, Umay Kushya, what's the question? Dilma Rav leis leilahani klali. Maybe Rav doesn't hold of these rules, but everybody else holds of these rules. We never said that everybody follows these rules. We just said that there's such a rule. So the Gemara says, Ela mehadetnan, maybe we can learn that we don't follow these rules generally from the following case. Hayavama lo tachlos v'lo tisyave mashishla shlosha chadashim. That the Yavama, the woman whose spouse passed away, and now she's beholden to marry or do chalitza with the brother. She doesn't do the chalitza or the yibum for at least 3 months to make sure that she's not pregnant. To make sure that there's no child from the previous marriage, which would then undo the obligation of Yiba. So the Gemara says you have to wait 3 months. Here, due to the concern that she may be pregnant from him, in which case she is exempt. After 3 month waiting period, it will become clear whether she is pregnant from her husband. Okay. All other women, they shouldn't get married and they shouldn't get engaged until 3 months had passed from their original relationship, echad besulos ve'echad beulos, whether they were virgins, whether they already had intercourse, echad almanos ve'echad grushos, whether they were widows, whether they were divorcees, echad arusos ve'echad nesuos, whether they were engaged previously or whether they were actually married. Now you'll notice that some of those you probably scratch your head. Why do those people have to wait? We'll talk about it in a second. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Nesuos Yisarsu. If the woman had already been married when she became widowed or divorced, she can still get engaged. Says Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have to wait to get engaged. You don't have to wait 3 months to get engaged, because when you're engaged, you're not having intercourse yet. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda trusts the couple that they're not going to get married until after 3 months. So the Gemara says, V'arusos, and if they were only engaged, yinasu. Just like we trust them in engagement for the second relationship, we trust them for the engagement in the first relationship, that they were only engaged, and therefore they never had intercourse the first time around. And therefore you don't have to be concerned that she's pregnant. Chutz me'arusa shev Yehuda, except for an engaged couple in Yehuda, mivnei shelivo gaspa, they have a more difficult time staying away from each other. Rashi says, Shahayu regilin li'achid chasim nekal kodem kinesul chuppah. In Yehuda, according to the Gemara in Ksubas, apparently they would always have yichud with each other, even when they haven't yet been married. And therefore, we have a greater concern that maybe she is pregnant from the first husband, so she has to wait. If she was, if any relationship from Yehuda has happened, they have to wait 3 months. Interesting. Halacha, Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi says, Kol hanashim yisarisu chutz min ha'amanu mivnei ha'ibul. Any woman, any of the women from beforehand are allowed to get engaged, regardless, which sounds pretty much like Rabbi Yehuda, so I'm not really sure the difference is. But either way, they're all allowed to get engaged except for the widow. And that's not because we're worried about pregnancy, but rather it's because of the mourning. Right? We're trying to instill a sense of sadness. Rashi says, Shasur liaris kol yimei avla aval gerusha tiaris miyad. If you're a divorcee, you can get married, you can get engaged right away, or betrothed in halachic terminology. But if you are a widow, so you should be mourning for a little bit. You shouldn't go right into another relationship. V'amrinan, and we say also, Rabbi Eliezer lo al levei midrasha. One day, Rabbi Eliezer didn't come to the base medrash, to the study hall. Ashkli Rabbi Asi to have a kaim. He saw that Rabbi Asi was standing up. I'm not really sure why that matters. Amar le my amar levei midrasha. What did they say in the base medrash? What are they learning now? So amar le hachi amar le Yochanan. This is Rabbi Yochanan. So halach Rabbi Yosi. We pass like Rabbi Yosi. Mechlati yichida paligale. Does that implies that there's somebody else who disagrees with him? Who would disagree with Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi's logic makes a lot of sense, that a widow shouldn't get married before 3 months, shouldn't get betrothed even before 3 months, not because we're worried about pregnancy, but because again, it's only betrothal and it's not actual marriage, but rather because she should be mourning for a little bit. So who disagrees with that? Says Rabbi Asi. So the Gemara says, it's true, someone does disagree. Hold on. No, Rabbi Eliezer was the one that would ask, and then asked who would ever disagree. So Rabbi Asi responds, in V'hatani, the Braisa says, this is how we know someone disagrees. Hari Shaisa Redufa Leilach Vesavia, O Shaisa Lakas Im Bala, O Shaisa Bala Zakin Ochola, O Shaisa Hichola, Akara Zakin Ktan Vailanus, Vailon, Vailanus, Vishainri Ulelet, O Shaisa Bala Chavish Vesasun, Mohammapels Achamisas Bala, Kulan Srikh Mohammedan Shalosh Kodash of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, all these different situations, even though they might imply that this woman is not going to be pregnant from her previous husband, Rabbi Meir says you still have to wait 3 months. It's almost like a blanket concern. We're not going to allow anyone to do it. Rashi says, he still says you're not like a betrothed. Rabbi Yossi Matir Liaris Ulinasumiyad. Rabbi Yossi says you're allowed to not only get betrothed, but even get married right away. So the Gemara says, Lamali, why do you have to tell me that we pass on? Why does Rabbi Asi have to teach Rabbi Eliezer that we pass on like Rabbi Yossi? Doesn't it also follow this rule that Rabbi Yossi always wins out, and therefore we don't need him to tell us that you pass on like Rabbi Yossi? It's understood. So the Gemara says, Lamali, V'hama Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Alach Rabbi Yossi. We pass on like Rabbi Yossi already, so why does he have to tell him? So my kushya. The reason is Dilma la Fukami de Rabbi Nachman Amar Shmuel de Amar Halach Rabbi Meir Big Zero Sav. Maybe we pass like Rabbi Nachman, who also follow another rule. The other rule from Shmuel, Rav Nachman quoting Shmuel, is that we follow Rabbi Meir's opinion when it comes to a gezerah, when it comes to some kind of decree. And here too, there's some kind of decree that Rabbi Meir Paskins were worried. I guess we're worried in this case. For other cases, I guess that's the gezerah, that even though the woman can't get pregnant or wasn't pregnant from her previous marriage, from her previous relationship, we're still going to be concerned lest it come to allow somebody else who hasn't had that situation get married or betrothed right away. Maybe that's what the gezerah is. But either way, so maybe you would think you pass like Rabbi Meir when it comes to his gezerahs, kamash malan, we pass like Rabbi Yossi. So Gemara says, Ela mehadetanya. Let's look for another case where where we can disprove the rules of who we pass like. You're allowed to go to some kind of marketplace or a fair. Rashi says it's a shuk hanikvel yom chag shel goyim. It's a non-Jewish festival of sorts, and you're allowed to buy some kind of any animals or slaves or maids or
even them.
Bring them into Rashi says bring them into kedusha, machnisan lekedusha. You're bringing them into a more holy endeavor because you or houses, fields, and vineyards. Rashi says because I assume this because you're moving them into Eretz Yisrael. That's what Sefaria says also. Rashi says inam mishum yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Bringing these things into Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is itself a worthwhile endeavor, even if it means going to a non-Jewish festival. And you can even go through the legal process. I assume this means on Shabbos. Or maybe it does mean on Shabbos, that wouldn't be allowed, but you would be allowed to go through, maybe it's the whole concern is that maybe you're doing dealings with them. Rashi says,
It says here in this recognition right. That the idolater's court might have the appearance of belief in a regard for idolatry.
Right, I'm reading it now in the Sefaria. As the court's confirmation and stamp of approval prevents the sellers from appealing the sale and retracting it. Oh, that's not it. But even though this involves an acknowledgement of their authority. Right, so but basically you have to sign their contracts, and maybe it says like, you know, the year since so-and-so's reign or so-and-so's, existence, whatever. So that could be a problem. So Kamash Malan, we're not concerned about that when it comes to bringing it up in holiness.
Well, in modern times, plenty of legal documents are dated the year of our Lord.
Right. So, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, well, here I guess that would be this would be an even greater reason to do it because you're doing some kind of mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. In our situation, maybe it's a different reasoning, Dina de Machlus Adina or Onas Rachmana Patre. I don't know. It might be a different halacha. Maybe we can look into it. I don't know. Interesting concept here. Ve'im haya kohen, and if he was a kohen, which is obviously restricted from going into impure places. Then you're allowed to get impure in Chutz La'aretz because it's a suffix tuma. The Gemara Ksubas tells us that there's a possibility that every place out of Eretz Yisrael is assumed to have dead bodies of some kind buried or mixed into the ground, and therefore you usually would be concerned if you're a Kohen living in Eretz Yisrael to go outside of Eretz Yisrael. Nowadays this doesn't really apply anymore, but either way, you're allowed to do that for the sake of accomplishing these acquisitions. And just like you can be mitami yourself as a kohen inside outside of Eretz Yisrael, so too you can mitami yourself even in a cemetery. You think you can go into an actual cemetery. That's not talking about an Isser Darabanan anymore. That's not talking about Gzera. That's talking about an actual Daraisa. Why would you ever allow that to happen for the sake of making a contract like this? Ela Besa Pras Daraban. Rather, it's talking about Besa Pras, which we talked about before for a number of Gemaras, that it's some kind of plowed over field, in which case it's only a suffix whether or not there's actual Tumma there. Maybe the pieces are too small. Maybe there's no actual buried there. Fine. And a person is allowed to go ritually impure themselves because and by leaving Eretz Yisrael for the sake of getting married or for the sake of learning Torah. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Emasai, when is a person allowed to do that, to learn Torah? Emasai b'zman she'ein motzi lomad, there's no place to learn in Eretz Yisrael. Aval motzi lomad, but if there's a place, there's a base medrash to learn, there's a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael itself, so lo yitama. In that case, you're not allowed to go become tame by going outside of Eretz. So Rabbi Yossi Omer, however, Rabbi Yossi says, af b'zman she'motzi lomad nami yitama, even if it's a situation where there is a base medrash, there is a yeshiva, you could learn in Eretz Yisrael. We're still not going to require you to stay there if there's a better yeshiva for you outside of Eretz Yisrael. She'ein min hakol zocha adam lomod. It's not necessarily the case that a person zocha for learning is not always the case. A person's going to be successful in learning every base medrash. A very interesting halacha here that we're willing to say you can go to a base medrash which is better for you specifically, even if that means going outside of Eretz Yisrael. And this, we know, is a general consensus of poskim in terms of going outside of Eretz Yisrael for one thing or another, for marriage, for business, for learning. That is some of the main exceptions to the rule. I gotta slow down. Get a drink here. The Gemara says, "V'am Rabbi Yochanan." Halachic Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yochanan says we pass like Rabbi Yossi. V'lamale, why do we need to tell me that we pass like Rabbi Yossi, that you're allowed to learn outside of Eretz Yisrael for the sake of a better for a better yeshiva? V'hamar Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi halachic Rabbi Yossi. We already know that we pass like Rabbi Yossi. So Amar Bai Israel Sagdachamina Hanimil Masnistin Aval Babraisa Emalah. Maybe the rule only applies with the Mishnah, but here these are Braisas, and therefore maybe we don't apply the rule. Kamash Mulan. This is teaching us, no, we still pass on Rabbi Yossi, even when it's a discussion in a Braisa. So fine, the Gemara gives up. The Gemara says, okay, you win. What we meant was, Hala hachikami, Ela hachikamar, Hani klali lav divrei kol ninhu, Taharav leisle hani klali. Some people pass on like the rule, some people don't pass on like the rule. It's not necessarily the case that you have to follow the rule, but generally a lot of people follow these rules. But we're not trying to teach any very, very strict rule. Or at least that's what Rabbi Misharshi was trying to say. Rabbi Misharshi says we don't have to follow these rules, that he didn't mean that the rule doesn't exist. He just means that there are some people who don't follow the rules. Okay. Or don't have the rules, not don't follow the rules. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Back to the sleeping, person establishing an Erev. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Chavtze Nachre Ein Koren Shvisa. The utensils or the vessels, the inanimate objects of a non-Jew do not establish residency, right? In order for you to only take them to a certain distance away. So Gemara says, Laman. Who's that going according to? If that's going according to the Rabbanan, who never say inanimate objects have a shvisa, who never say an inanimate object can create its own tchum. So pshita, of course you can. When it comes to chavtze hefker, like people that there is no ownership, like rain or something like that, which we talked about before, ain konish shvisa. If there is something which does have ownership and that person doesn't make a tchum, so then obviously it's not going to be konish visa. If something which has no ownership can't create its own jurisdiction, as someone who has ownership and has control over the item, certainly we're not going to bring ownership. We're not going to bring jurisdiction to it against the owner's will. So Ella, Aliv de Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, v'kamash malan. Rather, it's going according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who does usually say that inanimate objects have a certain distance they can go, they can be taken. V'kamash malan. This is what it means. Emer to Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri konin shvisa. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who usually says that inanimate objects can create their own residency, hani mil chavtze hefker. That's only when it's ownerless. Delay slubalim. Avah chavtze anach di slubalim lo. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would say that non-Jewish owned items do have a restriction. They're not able to get a shvisa. They're not able to create residency. So the Gemara says, "May sivay, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer Shal Kli Men Anachmi Yom Tov." If you borrow a non-Jewish person's item, v'chein hamashel on the Nachri Kli Me'erav Yom Tov, or if you bring, or if you gave away an item before Yom Tov, v'hechzir lo b'Yom Tov, and he brings it back to you on Yom Tov itself, akelim va'alter sheshav sub min toachach tchum, and the other items, which are, I guess, non-Jewish items. No, not 90 just items necessarily, but things that were already Konish Fisa in the inside of Yerutzchim. Yesh lehem alpayim amal choruach. So the Brisa clearly says that they have 2,000 amos to every direction. V'nach shevelo peros mechutz tzchum, and a non-Jew that brings you fruit from outside of the tzchum, harei ze lo yizizim imkoman, then they'd be mukta. You're not allowed to move them. So e amar bishlama kasei Rabbi Yochanan Nuri chafsi nach konish visa. If you follow that Rabbi Yochanan Nuri does hold that non-Jewish items do have shvisa, they do have residency. Hamani Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. So then this brisa would follow Rabbi Yochanan Nuri that says that the non-Jewish item that's brought to you on Yantif is going to be limited by these 2,000 amos. El yomer comes out Rabbi Yochanan Nuri chafter nachar and konish visa. But if you say that a non-Jewish person's items do not carry do not create some kind of residency, Hamani lo Rabbi Yochanan Nuri v'lo Rabbanan, it's not going according to anybody. So how do you understand it? Really, we think that Rabbi Yochanan Nuri does say that the items of a non-Jew create residency, and they do have 2,000 amos to every side. According to this price is going according to Shmuel in the name of the Rabbanan Shita, who always say that you don't have shvisa for inanimate objects. So maybe we would create a gezera against the non-Jewish items, lest a person treat a Jewish person's items in the same way. To say that the Jewish person's inanimate objects also have 2,000 amos, maybe you would think that maybe we impose the same restriction on a non-Jewish person's item, kamash malan, that according to the Rabbanan, we paskin that you're allowed to, that the non-Jews allowed to, the non-Jews item has a tchum of its own, which is a kula of the Rabbanan. We thought the Rabbanan were the more machmer ones. It sounds from here that the Rabbanan are the ones that Here, the Rabbanan are the ones that are mekel to say that the non-Jewish item does have its chum. Rabbi Chiya bar Avin Amar Rabbi Yochanan Chafti Nachri Konish Visa Gzera Baal Nachri At Baal Yisrael. Excuse me. Rabbi Chiya bar Avin quotes Rabbi Yochanan to say that the items of a non-Jew do cause residency, do create residency, lest the person think. Hold on, Gzera Balim Dinachri Atu Balim Yisrael. Hold on, did I misinterpret this? Hold on. Hold on. Maybe you would think that just like you're allowed to move a non-Jewish person's item, lest the person carry the objects belonging to a Jewish owner outside of 2,000 amos. Yeah, no, they don't make a decree. And here we're saying, Cheftei Nagri Konin Shvisa, Gzera Balam Denachri Atu Balam Yisrael. That the objects of a Jew do acquire residence due to the aforementioned decree issued of the case of the not. Right. So this is going against the Rabbanan. This is going against the Rabbanan that we do make a gezeira. We do limit the items of the non-Jew, lest the person come to think that that also applies to the Jew, that you can take them. You don't need the 2,000 amos thing. So Gemara says, Hanu dechri de asu lemavarka limvarakta. Sorry, limvarakta. Sharu luhuravalam name chuzalimizma minahu. There was a situation where mavrakta, the Rava said that they could buy things from them and take them home, even though it was outside of the tchum, because these things were were from non-Jews. So Amar Ravina Rav, Ma'ad Atach Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Chavtzi Nachar Ein Kol Shvisa. Don't you? Is it because you think that non-Jewish items don't have a Shvisa, don't create residence, therefore not they're not obligated in this way? Hashmuel Rabbi Yochanan, Alach Rabbi Yochanan, we pass on Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rabbi Yechiel Bar Avin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Chavtzi Nachar Kol Shvisa Gzera Ba'alim Dan Chirid Atu Ba'alim Yisrael. Don't we pass against with a Gzera that you're not allowed to treat non-Jewish items like this? So Hadar Amar Rav Liz Dabnu Livnei Mevarachta Dekula Mevarachta. You're only allowed to take it if it's from the residence of the residence of Mavrachta itself. It says here, although the rams acquired residence and maybe moved only 4 cubits because they're outside of the tchum, as they were taken outside of the tchum, all legal status of the Mavrachta is like 4 cubits. It's one big city. It's all one big residence. However, they may not be sold to the residents of Mechuza, as the halacha is in accordance to Rabbi Yochanan. We do paskin. They can't go to Mechuza because that's outside of the tchum, and these rams do have a certain limitation, but they're allowed to stay within the entire city, even though the whole city is outside of its outside of the tchum of Mechuza, because the city itself is considered its own Dalai Lama. So, okay, Shkayach, tomorrow we can meet in the tent.